welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's defeat at Airdrie, preview this Saturday's game at Cove Rangers, and we'll be hearing from assistant manager Davey Nicholls and the two Andys, McCarthy and McDonald. I'm Colin Byers, and alongside me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Cold and wet. This sums up there. The seasonal weather, not too bad. Otherwise, yourself.
We're into November. We should be grateful that it. I'm grateful. I don't care what I'm saying there.
We're grateful it's not snowed.
Yes, so far. Into our what we hope is going to be our new weekly slot of a Monday. We keep shifting things about, but hopefully this is where we're going to be for the next wee while anyway. Until the Christmas period, for we reckon. Fit day of the week it is, because it's Christmas, but hopefully it's maybe a bit more productive, I think, on a Monday, just because we're a wee bit closer to the previous game.
Yeah, it's been difficult over the last couple of weeks trying to get stuff organised, but work gets in the way sometimes, life gets in the way as well, but hopefully, as you said, we're back to a more regular slot.
We seem to have managed to put out episodes every day apart from a Friday. But so, as I said, hopefully this is where we're going to be of a Monday now. So let's say crack on then with Saturday's game against Airdrie. The unbeaten run came to a rather abrupt end in the end. 3-1, another three goals conceded to Ian Murray's men. It was a rather poor game in the end.
Yeah, I've seen some people on social media calling it a trouncing. Was it a 3-1 really a
trouncing? Aye, that was pie and ball. The anti-Peterhead agenda, I think, they've got to go in there.
I think a trouncing's very harsh. Granted, we weren't a good on Saturday, far from it, but I think trouncing to call it, that's a bit harsh. But yeah, poor game from our point of view. Didn't really get much right throughout the game. Things didn't go our way. As you said, the unbeaten run sort of came to a crashing end.
But I also think as well, it's not a case of that, or maybe it isn't, I'll get your thoughts on it, but it's maybe a case that Airdrie weren't that great, but it was just far too many mistakes, individual errors. Airdrie, to their credit, capitalised on those errors, which you need to do at this level, but I think, had those errors not been there, and this is easy for me to say, it's hypothetical, I know, but if we cut out those errors, I think it would be a far different game, a far tighter scoreline as well.
Yeah, the errors certainly didn't help. I just felt Airdrie were more clinical, because the goals that they got, the second and third ones, they're not easy finishes. On another day, it sails over the bar, or it goes wide, or your keeper's getting something on to prevent it getting logged. But yeah, they were more clinical on their day, and they looked good. There was a few of their men, Easton, Gallagher, these are guys you've got to be wary of at the best of time. So you give them a sniffer in the box, they're going to punish you.
If you're gifting them opportunities, you are going to get punished, as you said. So still no Simon Ferrett or Naya Payne in the squads, despite them coming through sort of training in the last week. Grant Savory got his first start, was in instead of Derek Lyle. I mentioned the three goals already, but the first sort of 20 minutes, even 20 minutes, half an hour, the match was very even, without really either side creating too much.
Yeah, I just thought in the opening period of the game we're too deep, too defensive, and it sort of set the pattern of the game that Airdrie would get the ball, they'd recycle it well, but they didn't have to work too hard to get into our area, into our half, sorry. They were able to move it around pretty comfortably, and at times it felt like we'd two very deep banks of four when you looked in. We've said before that you've got to set your stall out and be hard to break down away from home, but there's also been too cautious and too defensive. And in the end, I felt we just invited the pressure, and ultimately we went 1-0 down, and we never really looked like coming back into it, didn't feel.
Does the back three or back five, we keep trying to decide what it's called, does that really work with when you've got the likes of Hamish Ritchie, Scott Brown, and Andy McCarthy as a three in front of them? Because they're so attack-minded, and of course you've got the full-backs going forward, you don't hear that Simon Ferris sitting in that role where he's almost like a forced defender, if you like.
When
you're going to a place like that, you maybe need to be a little bit more cautious and sort of less gung-ho, if you like.
And in that case, I think Jim needs to look at can he play that formation with the personnel that he had on Saturday? I think with Simon Ferry in it, yes, you get the balance, but as you said, if you've got your two attacking fullbacks plus Richie, Brown and McCarthy sitting in there who like to get forward, then you're going to leave yourself too open. So it's maybe a formation that you cannot play with the personnel that he had on Saturday. That formation's maybe tailor-made for, well, you've got to have Simon Ferry in there or else it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Jim needs to look at that. But I think it could have worked, but the attacking fullbacks had to be less attacking for it to work. Otherwise, as you said, there's a wee bit of gung-ho and I don't feel you get the balance right. And I think that's maybe fit didn't go away on Saturday. The players were okay in the formation, but the balance of it just, I didn't feel was right. Yeah.
The opening goal then came on the 43rd minute, which for me is a crucial time to concede. Right on half time, you know, both managers are thinking about what their half time team talks are going to be prepped for the second half. And there appears to be no danger before the goal is scored. It's a combination of McCarthy and Mulligan. You know, McCarthy's done well. He's won the ball back. He's given it to Mulligan, and Mulligan, rather than just getting rid of it, turns himself into danger.
Yeah, and as you said, it's a crucial time to lose the goal. And there's a time to play out for the back. And there's a time later. I'm not saying lump it forward, but a couple of minutes before half time, you've won the ball back. Try and look for an outlet, and I didn't think that was the ball. Ken Jason Brown's getting a fair bit of stick, but to be honest, the striker's sort of coming at him. There's not really much you can do other than getting a block on it. I think if anything, Brett Long will be more disappointed he's beating it. He's near post.
To be fair, it does take a wee nick off of Jason, and it goes past him. I think if it doesn't do that, I think he saves it.
Yeah.
I think Jason's doing the right thing by showing him almost on the outside, because he wants them to go on the left-hand side. And as I said, if it doesn't take a nick off of him, I think Brett Long saves it. But it's just unfortunate it goes to Easton, who's in such a good form at the minute. Everything he touches seems to be going in.
I think it was he out for nomination for League One player of the month?
Last month.
Yeah, and you give a player like that time in the box to get a shot off as well. Crucial time in the game, as you said, and disappointing to go into the break like that.
It completely changes the complex of the half-time talk. As I said, it probably changes the complex of the second half as well, because if you were thinking about 0-0 half-time, you're thinking, we're doing well here, we're competing against essentially a full-time team and not giving them much opportunities. And all of a sudden, you can just sense that the heads had dropped slightly.
Yeah, I think last couple of weeks' performances have been great, and we've sort of dug out draws. First half, again, as I said, it wasn't great on Saturday. But they scored right at that crucial time, as you've mentioned, right before the break. The team talks completely changed for both managers, because obviously then Ian Murray's got his team in the lead. They want to go and try and get a second early on, whereas Jim's trying to get his players to get that confidence back up, get confidence into them. Crucial time to lose a goal, and it was disappointing.
A comedy moment of the second half, or the entire game came in the second half. Gallagher missing practically on the line. I don't know how he's managed to miss it.
Good clearance.
It was a good clearance. But as funny as it is to look back on now, it really should have been 2-0. And then after 50 minutes, you were kind of really looking at it as going, we could be in for hiding here. But I believe it's not the first time he's missed for that shot a distance this season, by judging by what some of the Airdrie fans were saying.
Yeah, I think there was something on their Twitter was it the start of the season? He managed to miss from like a yard out or something.
I think it was half a yard this time.
He's getting closer. He's getting there. But on the serious side of things, kind of carved open, and how he's managed to miss is, he could date 100 times again, he wouldn't manage it. But from our point of view, at that moment in time, it kept us in the game. But you know, that's when the alarm bell should be ringing, and possibly changes within personnel or formation would have been required.
Yeah, and I think 6 or 7 minutes later, it was 2-0. but it just seems such a simple ball into the box. Nobody really deals with it. Too many folks sort of looking for an offside, which was never coming, because he was never offside in the first place. And then McEnroy just kind of was the only one to react and come in for the blind side, if you like, and had a really good finish, which we have to say was a goal that kind of come, as I said, come out of nothing, really.
Yeah, again, they didn't have to work overly hard for it. We've mentioned errors before, but as you said, it's nobody really deals with it. That, to me, is a problem. There should be somebody in that back line that's willing to take charge of a situation, or a ball coming in the box. The height that we've got, you know, if you're defending set pieces, you've got Russell McLean, you've got Jason Brown, Andy McDonald. You've got players that should be willing to deal with a ball coming in the box. Appealing for offside, as you rightly said, even looking back at the replays, it doesn't take much to look at. You can see he's onside. So again, that two things, you're taught that at, you know, the bottom level of fit by your plate, the whistle and whatnot. But taking a nothing away for the finish, Britt Long, he can't do nothing. We kind of sort of twist in between whether he stays in his line or does he come for something. Lovely finish outside of the boot, I think it was as well, the lob over the top. And at 2-0, yeah, to me that was game over there.
It really was kind of game over, because there was no kind of signs that even at that stage, you know, we'll go half an hour to go, half an hour, 35 minutes to go. There was no signs that you thought, well, we're still in it, we just need to get a goal back, we could get back into it. But there was just no signs that we were going to get anything out of it. Yes, the guys in the wing-backs, wing-back areas were playing well. Flynn Duffy, I think, in particular, played well. But it's just there was that lack of something at the in the attacking third, which didn't they go our way at all.
I think it was sort of summed up Josh Mulligan's effort. So it's come across to him, and he's got a little bit of room, bit of time. I think if he'd taken a touch and then hit a shot, something could happen. But he's
ballooned it over.
I think a little bit of frustration came in there as well. I think Russell McLean had a header that skimmed the bar or just clipped the bar or something as well. So again, it's small margins, but you know, that's the difference in this league. If you're not going to take your chances, you're not going to get a handful of chances. I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, but when you do get a chance, you've got to try and make them count. Okay, Russell hitting the bar, can't legislate for that, but I think Josh is good for him. He's been on. I think maybe a little bit of composure for the young man, take a touch, and then, you know, if you draw that low and hard, something could happen. But again, a little bit of frustration, I felt.
Maybe just still thinking about the error that you had that cost us the opening goal, and as we say, these guys are young, they're going to learn from these kind of mistakes, which we hope they learn from these mistakes, but it's probably not the right time to do it. But anyway, and then 3-0, it was certainly game over after that. I mean, you know, just less than an hour, half an hour ago, 3-0 doing away for him at Airdrie. The floodgates could have really opened up, but again, I just felt that Airdrie didn't really, I think they were under best form. They weren't a carving us open, creating chance after chance, and it wasn't a case of Brett Long was doing save after save. But again, this third goal, it's just a long ball up for Max Curry, and before you came, it's 3-0.
I think this is the goal that I missed. Maybe frustrated, probably disappointed actually, because as you said, it's a long ball up, and we've got McDonald and Brown, really strong guys. They like that physical battle, and Jason sort of just, I don't know whether he's got the flight of the ball wrong or whether he's turned too easy or he's gotten too close to the man, but he's through on goal, lobbed the keeper. Again, he doesn't have to work hard for it. We've seen Airdrie a few times over the last couple of years, and they're a good side, but on Saturday they didn't have to work hard for it. You probably come a while looking at that scoreline, time they were 3-0 up, and you thought, oh, Airdrie's played well, but I didn't feel they played particularly well. It's a combination of they were clinical and took their chances, whereas we were poor at both ends of the park.
As you said, it was a long ball, and Gallagher wins the first header against McDonald, and then Smith has the beating up. excuse me, has a beating at Jason for the second ball.
Yeah.
Which is really disappointing, because these are two guys that have been playing well recently. You just want one of them is to just kind of deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You win one of them headers and that chance doesn't happen. But as we've said, it's not like they're, with respect, it's not like it's Flynn Duffy's going up against these guys, a smaller sort of guy. You know, these guys love a challenge. You see Jason week in, week out, he loves that battle against a big striker. and he's lost it on this occasion. We were punished for it, as I said earlier. We were clinical, we weren't it, and that was really the bottom line of the game.
So we found ourselves 3-0 down as we did in the home game, with quite a lot of time on to go, and you just kind of felt that, you know, as you mentioned, getting Rusty hit the bar, 75 minutes, Dells had a volley, which I think he'll probably look back and think he's probably should have done better, at least hit the target on. You know, we're creating our better chances when we're 3-0 down, and that's got to be the annoying thing. I know we should be praising him for keep going, even though it was 3-0, and they kept plugging away, which is good, but 3-0 down.
As harsh as this has got to sound, that's a bare minimum you expect to your team from your 3-0 down is still to be playing, because my goodness, you could have ended up losing that game 5-6-0, and nobody wants that in their, you know, their professional CV as a player. But at the minimum that you expect is your team to continue to go and try and get something. As you said, there was a couple of half chances. One of them goes in a bit earlier. Hey, you never know if it could have happened, but I think over the course of the game, we just weren't good enough.
If we thought 3-2 flattered us in the home game, I think 3-1 certainly flattered us.
Yeah.
This time it was a slightly different game. As I said, we weren't too harsh, but it really, for me, there was too many that were had an off game that game.
Wouldn't necessarily say that the performance has been coming, but we mentioned last week performances the last couple of weeks hasn't been that great. So it's maybe a blessing. You know, we've been praised for the results. We've turned the corner, we were form picked up, two draws home against Falkirk and Montrose, and then you get that pretty, you know, sharp reality of, well, you've been well beaten by an Airdrie team that didn't have to play that well. It's maybe just that makings of getting a reset again and going for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there was a consolation that really was just a consolation goal. It's gone down as a Max Crayon goal. Andy McDonald with, which is essentially just a long ball up, and gets it completely wrong. He overhits it, and Max Curry attempts to control it, and it goes under his foot and goes in.
It's only why we were scoring.
It
really
was, well, I was going to say,
to be honest.
I mean, he didn't have much to do in the game, did Max? He had a pretty quiet game. I can't even recall any save he had to make during the game either, so maybe just a lack of a concentration on his part.
Yeah,
which is unusual, because I really like Max as a goalkeeper. I think he's one of the better goalkeepers in the league, but fine for us, he's
yeah, he's lost his clean sheet bonus. I think you'll be hard pushed to try and get it off Andy McDonald, though, because he'll try and claim it, I'd imagine.
I think he'll be certainly claiming, and we'll hear from him just in a few minutes. But 3-1, yeah, that was pretty much it then. And as I said, overall, I think it was a case that we had too many errors, too many defensive errors. Where other than Airdrie being beating us, if you like.
Yeah, I think we were architects of our own downfall. We're poor at both ends of the park. It's frustrating. It could have been a lot worse, but as I said, it is the harsh reality of, they got to sit here and praise him for going to the end, because it's a minimum you expect. But you look at that game, there are very few positives I think Jim and Davey will be able to take out of it, to be honest.
There's a lot of what's been said about how young the squad is, and we've mentioned it a couple of times, I think, this season already, particularly at the back. You know, you've got McDonald and Jason Brown, David Wilson's come in, even Brett Long. They're all sort of 25 and under, relatively inexperienced, so maybe a game like that is where you're missing that experience ahead at the back, just somebody just to kind of take control of the situations and things like that, and maybe just keep them going. Whereas sometimes you just think that the three there, Wilson, McDonald and Jason Brown, sometimes they're almost kind of looking at each other for somebody to kind of take charge. You'd like to think there's one of them was going to, it could take charge, but I just think sometimes they're maybe just looking at each other and say, well, somebody needs to deal with it. Whereas if you had an experienced head in there, you might say, right, he'll take charge.
I think we had this conversation roughly about this time last year. I remember just before Gary McKenzie sort of came into the squad, and we commented his presence for such a big guy, but also his command of the back line as well, sort of just settled Abdi Doon. Again, it's maybe something that Jim might look at in the January window and see about getting an experienced guy in. somebody doesn't need to play 90 minutes every week, but somebody you can maybe rotate with Simon Ferry, because mm-hmm. Simon's got to play every week, and get an experienced figurehead in there to sort of control things.
And I think, again, it's where you miss Simon Ferry as well, because I'm quite sure, and you know, you heard him during the game anyway, but I think if he's on the park, he's a bit, he can influence things a bit more, and I think that's an obvious thing to say, because he is on the park and he's playing. But some of those kind of situations, you just can't, he'd be giving those guys pelters.
Yeah, pelters the word, because there was a couple of weeks ago he was roaring at Josh Mulligan because he was in the right position for defending a throw-in. But again, it's them little things that make up, you know, how you defend, how you attack as a team. Whether Simon would have changed the complexion of the game, you know, it's all hypothetical, but I think his presence was certainly missing. As we've said numerous times, we are a poorer outfit without Simon in the team.
Yep, so that was the game then. After the game on the Sunday, I managed to catch up with assistant manager Davey Nicholls and to get his thoughts. And I first of all asked him what was his thoughts overall on the game.
A disappointing result, but overall, I thought the first half, they had a lot of possession, but they were never really, I don't think, impressed with a safety make the first half, really. They've kept them really at bay the first half, especially when they're a full-time team. For the guys, we walked on a Tuesday training, they seemed to take one of them on board. It was just, we should have cleared the ball, and it's a learning curve, because they're still a really young side, don't just know. As you saw yesterday, an average age of 22 years of age. And a lot of the guys, this is kind of their first foray into, you know, first team football and playing week in, week out. So, realistically, I disappoint goals and goals, particularly in the second half. I think the third goal for me, because I won't move the keeper with my flank on, and, you know, just caught the wrong side, and the guy finishes off. But, you know, certainly, I thought, probably first half, it was quite needed.
Is the first goal or the timing of the first goal crucial?
It's a bad time, given that they've stuck to the game plan really well in the first half. You know, really limited to get the first 18 yards, and we're very comfortable from the bench, you know, that time it was us, you know, we're going to get about a half time, and then you potentially can, you know, change your game plan in the second half. You know, maybe midpoint in the second half, you maybe have a go. But as I said, that changes the game right away. But not up to that point, you know, we're certainly delighted with the shape that was there, and, you know, everybody stuck to their job, you know.
Even at 2-0 and 3-0 doing, the guy still plugged away and created chances. Is it the lack of finishing at the other end, is that maybe a bit of a concern to you as well?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, you know, the guys did stick at it, you know, certainly being easy for your, you know, certainly, as I said, it's a young side, certainly for a young side, just to, you know, totally capitulate, but they kept going. I think we're on the right hand side as well, we need Josh. Flint had a good game as well, I thought yesterday. That was probably his best game for us, getting forward and putting crosses into the box. He was certainly competitive as well at times. But no, I thought we certainly, it was probably the final ball that has been, you know, certainly I was something working on training during the week, you know, the final cross, that final delivery, final pass wasn't it great. It's things to work on. Certainly it's been a hard run that we've been against full time teams. And teams that are expected to be up there challenging. I think over the piece we've had some good results. Certainly kept the back door shut other than yesterday. And we're looking for them to, you know, continue that on. You know, try to get clean sheets and, you know, take a pride in. We'll concede many goals, but then it'll be up to the guys midfield forward to, you know, try and create, you know.
Because it's such a young team, can you be overly critical because the way the game finished, or do you just kind of try and, you know, dig it into the mistakes?
You know, you certainly try and draw line through. I mean, they're doing a quite hard team. They've got a lot of older professionals who are, as I said before, a wee bit more street wise, you know, and that's all that is. Player boys just need to believe in themselves a wee bit more. Because certainly, looking at both sides, on them that, you know, it's time what you say, you know, you're really good players, you need to continue to show that. I think yesterday we did miss sign, because certainly we were playing a system we wanted to play. We do need something to sit in that deeper role, and I don't think it doesn't really help Andy playing there, or Scott, who Scott likes to go forward. Andy likes to, you know, wrap up in the midfield and get some spaces. And just him sitting in there, you know, we kind of spoke about last week, so I think we do miss sign yesterday, but fingers crossed he'll be back by next week, you know.
You gave Grant Savory his first start. What was your thoughts on his game overall?
Yep, I thought he worked really well. I think there's a lot more to come off Grant. You know, he's certainly been in the game for a long time, and he's very comfortable. He worked hard yesterday, and he certainly did everything we asked of him, other than getting a goal. You know, but you can see the kid has got a lot of, you know, he has got a lot of talent. You know, he'll be keeping sure that off the coming months.
Davey's thoughts there, I think he's pretty much put it down to, as he, I think he said it a few times, he called it a learning curve, and he mentioned the how young the team was. I guess they obviously kind of players better than we do, see them through the week. They're not going to be overly critical of them, given how young they are, as he said, but at some point, if you're going to keep continuing making mistakes like that, you need to kind of, you know, take the bull by the horns and just say, right, you're making too much mistakes, you're going to get it sorted out.
It's a very fine balance in that, trying to get that through to the young lads of that it's been poor, but without, you know, having a go at them and just completely having them bereft of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It would be quite easy for them to just rip up the game and say, we weren't any good, we'll move on to the next game. But I certainly think, whilst I don't feel there's many positives to take from it, the fact that it's a learning curve, there is probably clips that you could show the young lads and say, right, this is what we've done, but this is what we could maybe do better. Jim and Davey have done it for years, they'll know it better than us, but be a fine balance in that, just trying to educate them without being overly critical.
But as he said as well, you know, Flynn Duffy probably had his best game since he's arrived, which is good considering how, you know, poor the performance was by everybody else. At least he was still plugging away, and there's signs that he's coming onto a game as well. So there are little things that we can take out of the game, but overall, it was a poor afternoon.
Yeah, I think things in isolation, you'd probably get away with one or two things, but overall, as we said, the game was poor, the performance was poor. I don't feel there was much to take from it, apart from, you know, as Davey said, the young team, it's a learning curve, it's just educating them for the next game.
He mentioned Grant Savory there as well, as I said, at the beginning he got his first start. We've seen him a few times now. What's your thoughts on him so far, what you've seen?
I like him. I think he's got something different to offer. He'd probably have a similar mould, I think, to Naya Payne, but he's got that. I think he's a wee bit more creative, a wee bit more direct than Fit Naya is. I've liked him. He's come off the bench a few times. He got his start on Saturday. Nobody did great on Saturday, but as Davey said, they're showing little glimpses of what he can maybe do. Again, it's mere minutes under his belt. And I think with a better team performance and him leading the spear of attack, I think we might do okay with him.
I like the fact as well that he was willing to go backwards as well, help out the midfield, help out the defence.
Yeah.
Rather than just where he was obviously supposed to play alongside Russell McLean, but he did the dirty work, the dirty stuff, you know, did the defending when it was necessary, but got on the ball. He looks lively, he looks skillful, he looks pacey. It's exactly the kind of player that we're needing.
Yeah.
And I think as well that there could be that combination between him and Russell McLean as well. As we mentioned last week, if Russell can get the flick ons, you just can, he's going to be running behind as well.
Yeah. Whether it's an option that Jim might hey Naya Payne on the left and then hey Savory and McLean up top, I think that three could cause a lot of defences problems. I think the fact that Grant's on a 2-year contract as well, the club obviously have seen something in him they like. We've seen him more was it 3 weeks now, for two sub appearances and one start. I think there's a lot to come for him. I like what I see. It's just a case of trying to get more out of him at the top end of the park.
Right, so let's get some thoughts now of the two Andys. First of all, we're going to hear from Andy McDonald. And again, I asked him the same question. What was his thoughts on the game?
That's a disappointing poor result for us. Like the first half, was kind of, they dominated the ball, but I felt as if we were pretty solid as a group. And obviously we conceded a late goal in the first half, so that kind of killed us. Then at half time, and then I think the second half, just stupid errors that we're making that are costing us. Teams are being clinical against us, which is hurting us really. So I think only got ourselves to blame for all the goals we're losing at the moment. I think if we can sort of eradicate the mistakes, we'll be alright.
As a defender, is that more frustrating for you to concede these kind of goals?
I would say so, yeah, but it's obviously gone through the whole team. So I think even the way we set up yesterday, we set up sort of to defend for the front. So I think we all need to play a part in it. And then obviously going forward, I think we need to kind of be a bit more clinical and a little bit more quality, final third.
Is it a case as well that they are a bit more smarter and a bit more experienced as well in that kind of areas and can take the chances that when they get them?
It could be that, yeah. Obviously they're full time, so they've got kind of all week to work on things. Whereas we've only got the two sessions, so that's always going to give them an advantage, but don't think we can kind of look to that as an excuse sort of thing, because we can match them when we're at it. So it's just about being at it kind of for the full game rather than in small spells.
It's a bit of a hypothetical question, but had you gone in 0-0 at half time, would it have been a different game?
I would think so, yeah. But even coming out in the second half, we were confident we could still take something for the game. But obviously, the two kind of quick goals just kind of killed the game, killed the kind of pace of the game, things like that. And it meant that they didn't really need to rush forward, but they could just knock it about, which suited them.
And having gone sort of 2-0 and 3-0 doing, you kind of kept going and kept at it, and we're creating opportunities, particularly doing the wide areas. Flynn and Josh were creating a lot of chances. Does that give you hope and does that give you the positivity going forward that you are still chipping away and creating these opportunities?
Yeah, I think that's probably a positive, even though the game was probably over. I think we kept plugging away, kept trying to create things, which is probably one of the kind of few positives we can take for the game. People are still kind of brave enough to go on it, try and make things happen, but it wasn't going away.
And the consolation goal, then, it's been credited as an own goal. Are you claiming it?
I think I'll take it. Aye.
did you see it going in?
I didn't, mate. As soon as I've kind of tried to play the diag, I seen it was going straight to the goalie. I kind of turned around. And I shake my head at myself, and then when I turn back
around,
it was in
the net. It's not an error you'd expect for somebody like Mark Scurry, though, is it?
Nah, I know Mark shake quite well, so I do. He's a bit cocky, so yeah, so I can't imagine he'd have been too happy with that.
Okay then, Andy, what's your overall thoughts of the game then?
I think it's just one of the frustrating ones, right? You lose kind of four goals at third time and the game kind of gets away from you. It was done alright the first 30-40 minutes, and shape wise I felt like in the game quite confident, and I thought it looked quite solid, and then that goal after just before half time kind of just such a poor goal to lose, and obviously you come out second half and you try to stay in the game and have a wee goal at it, but the second goal as well, the goal to lose is poor for our standards, especially when you've been clean sheets. So, man, I feel it's one of the, it's just a really frustrating game, and I think even now, still, the frustration for the game is something you just end up thinking about quite a lot, because it was a tight game at the start, and you just think if you could have stayed in it a little bit longer, what would that happen? Because I think that chances, we got in the good areas, but it's just about, you know, having better quality in the final third from all areas of the pitch.
Is that the more frustrating thing about it, is that you've almost kind of gifted them the three goals?
I thought I nearly done too much. The first goal, I probably should help Josh a wee bit, but both of you should just get in the line. It's one of them. I think I'll try to help him as much as I can, and he'll try to help me, but he's obviously turned in and kind of made the ball away, but that happens. But I think even after Josh gives the ball away, we need to kind of be in a better shape as well. The defender probably should be that open if we lose the ball there, but the goals obviously are extremely frustrating, and listen, I think any goal you can see, you can always pick kind of the bones with it and stuff like that, but I think especially yesterday, I think it was the goals, especially at the times that we kind of conceded, so nah, it was a frustrating one, so especially with the goals.
You picked up an early booking. Does an early booking look at, does that change your game? Because you like to kind of get in amongst it and tackles. Does that just kind of rein your game in slightly?
A wee bit. Sometimes kind of watch what you're doing, but I've been probably booked too much. I done it last year as well, which is stupid. Something I kind of need to change my game, I think. Listen, I know more than anyone, I need to still get booked. I'm going to end up missing games, and the way I am, I want to play every game and be as fit as I can and try to kind of play every game, and missing games isn't good enough for me. But stupid booking as well. I shouldn't be booked, but you kind of need to change your game as well. So it's kind of impacted me a wee bit performance-wise as well. So something I really need to get better at, no making stupid tackles or diving in. Especially yesterday, I gave a foul away in an area that I don't need to give a foul away there. Or I don't need to make a tackle that involves me getting booked in that area. So it's something I do need to get a lot better at, and it's something I will kind of probably am going to try and kind of not get booked as much, but if it means facing a yellow card for the team, I'm always going to do that and probably take it and wonder for it.
The positive thing, as you said earlier on, was the fact that we're getting into good areas, and maybe just the final ball or the finishing was letting us down. Is that something that you can see will progress and we'll end up getting goals out of those positions?
Yeah, of course. I think you've seen it with Flynn and Josh yesterday. I think down the sides, they were very, very strong. I think even Josh kind of showed what he's about as well. We probably made a mistake for the first goal, even though some of it, I could have helped him and all, but he kind of showed the character that he's got as a player to come back, and he kept going at the fullback and kept getting the better of him. So, no, obviously, if you keep getting into good areas, at the end of the day, you're going to get goals for it. It's just about getting that quality right. And listen, Josh has done it before, so it's fun. So, I'm sure that the quality will come. And even that, even if it's not down the side, it's been the middle of the pitch, it's Seamus, boys like that. They've got lots of quality. So, if you keep getting in the right areas, goals will come, and I'm pretty sure they will. So, that's probably a positive as being in that kind of area.
Right, Andy McDonald there, obviously claiming the goal as we'd expect. He called the error stupid errors, and I think he was quite honest about it as well. I think they recognise that, you know, they had a bad game.
Yeah, I'm putting it politely. it's good that they're willing to come out and admit that things weren't great, but it's obviously how they bounce back for it as well next week. It's all right here. No, it's not all right here, one bad game, but it's how you react to letting come back for it stronger is the mentality.
And Andy McCarthy as well, being quite honest as well, recognising that it wasn't good enough. He also said as well that he does believe that the goals are coming, that the chances are being created. Do you see where he's coming from, and do you kind of agree that yes, there are goals out there, but we just need to be a bit more clinical?
I think we've got goals in the team, but whether they're coming just now, I probably disagree with him slightly. Because I think over the last couple of weeks we have struggled to create good chances. It's not like we're creating 4, 5, 6 chances, but just not putting the ball in the net. I do not think we're creating that many good chances, which sort of means when you do get a chance, we're either snatching at it or we're not quite ready for it. Russell McLean a couple of weeks ago on the left foot, again Mulligan doing it Airdrie on Saturday, just snatching at it. So I certainly think there's goals in the team, but we're just not quite there yet for me.
And what I recognise for Andy McCarthy there, just speaking to him, he's quite for a young age, he seems to be quite mature, got a mature head on him, recognises, as I said, that, you know, he's got too many bookings, he's collecting too many bookings and needs to change his game slightly. But I do think that as soon as he gets a yellow card quite early on in a game, I think that just completely changes his game altogether. And I think you lose that little bit of something in midfield as well.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you bang on. I think when he gets an early booking, he runs a risk of one more foul and he could be sent off. And I think referees are sort of switched on with that as well. I think some of them, referees shouldn't get to pinpoint one player, but I think once he's got a booking, he's always a scapegoat in other teams, that as soon as he makes another challenge that could be deemed a yellow card, other players are on the referee and thinking, well, you know, he's already been booked. So the worrying thing would be if he tries and sort of stops himself, he's probably going to change his game quite a bit, because I like that aggression that he's got in him.
Controlled aggression, I think you'd call it.
And I think that's a huge part of his game, and sometimes that can be the catalyst for, you know, upping the tempo in the game. Just one of his challenges can sort of get the guys going. But yeah, he has picked up a few yellow cards and something he'll need to cut out, but you don't want him to change his game for it completely as well.
And I think it was a get-a-home game a couple of weeks ago where he'd gotten a booking, and I think Jim had substituted him because he recognised that...
Yes.
I can't remember if we were playing against...
What did I say, Falkirk, was it?
It could have easily been. They were almost trying to get him sent off.
Yes.
So yeah, you almost then have to make a substitution just because he's already got a yellow.
Yeah, and I'd say for you, you don't want to pay substitution up your sleeve just in case Andy gets a yellow. But if he understands he needs to change his game, he's just trying to change it in a way that doesn't detract from his game too much as well.
Yep. So we'll move on then to the next game, which is another away game against another team who's looking to be pushing for promotion as well. That is Cove Rangers. This one is another, they're all tricky as we keep saying, but probably this one even more so. The fact that since they've joined League One, we've lost all three league games, and without scoring a goal, does that start to kind of play a part on the players?
Yeah, I think it maybe would, especially the nay scoring part, because again, I go back to what I just said a minute ago, that when you do get a chance, if it's in the back of your mind, plus when they're playing particularly well, you start snatching at things and you're sort of trying to force it a wee bit more than you normally would. An early goal in that game for us would be massive, and I think it completely changed both managers' sort of outset and outlook in the game. But yeah, as you said, it's going to be a tricky one.
I mean, the scorelines have been fairly tight. So as you said, the first goal could be crucial. We did beat them earlier on in the season in the League Cup 3-1, and it was a fairly, dare I say, a one-sided kind of game. And it just kind of shows you that, you know, we are capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Cove might argue that they were off it slightly and it was a pre-season game or whatever you want to call it, but still, we still beat them 3-1. So there is that ability to beat them. We just now have to have the confidence to go on and do it.
As I said about the Airdrie game, I didn't feel there was much positive for that. I think the positive can take good in the Cove game. As you said, we beat them in the Betfred Cup. Mm-hmm. Was it Premier Cup these days?
Premier Sports Cup. League Cup.
You know, they are changed. Regardless of that, we got the result on that day. We thought we played really well. There's things that were a lot of positives to come out for that game. So looking back on that, rather than focusing too much on the three defeats that we've had, I think going into that game on Saturday, we'll look at the positives for the Cove game in the Cup.
And their form isn't that great either. One win in the last four, they lost to East Fife, which we've done as well. They've drawn 3-3 with QPR, Queen's Park. QPR? Where the hell did that come from? Queen's Park. And then drew 0-0 with Montrose last weekend as well. So again, form in these kind of games maybe doesn't really matter for a derby, but they're not just firing on all cylinders at the minute.
No wonder we're finding this league tough if we've got Queen's Park Rangers coming into it. Their form hasn't been the best. it's one of them games. Do you try and get the early goal and see where you go for there, or again, do you try and set your stall out and need to get beat, get opened up too early in the game? It's that fine balancing act, but this is what Jim and Davey and Simon need to look at. Their form's not great, but dare I say it, I think there is something in the game for us.
As Andy McDonald was saying, too many stupid mistakes, that's coming for being the video as well. The obvious guys to look out for, obviously, McAllister, Meganson. McAllister, 10 goals already in the league, one behind David Goodwillie, which I think just really kind of, I think that in itself tells you how good those two are, that they are still firing goals. I know David Goodwillie isn't as old as what McAllister is, but you know they're still very good players.
Just shows you how bad Clyde's sort of been there. If David Goodwillie is just one goal behind, but yet they're still languishing.
David Goodwillie's on 11. He's actually top goal scorer, but they're still languishing and doing it at the bottom. So it just kind of as you said shows you how bad that they're. Meganson as well. I think he's only maybe got five, but I say only five. I mean that's quite decent. But if you stop Meganson and McAllister, there's no other goals within that team. If you look at it, I think Leach has maybe got three or four. Other than that, there's nobody else that's scoring a goal. So if you can stop those two, which we did in the League Cup game, then I think you're on to. On a winner there.
The big one there is if we can stop them. And that is the challenge that defence has got. But it is a bit of a dire game. There is guys from Aberdeen that would like to, I'd imagine, get one over on their Cove friends. So it maybe is the perfect time, having the result and performance against Airdrie, a couple of days in the training pitch, and then going again next Saturday against Cove. It maybe is the right time to play them. And as I said, maybe Cloud Cuckoo Land, but I certainly think there's something in the game for us.
Is it a game where you, I don't want to say risk, but if he's fit, do you bring back Simon Ferry again?
Yes, aye, straight out categorically, yes. I think we said we're poorer without him, and I just think against Cove he could be the difference maker in terms of his organisational skills. He's not going to score for 30 yards, but I think his organisation is something that we massively missed on Saturday, and if he's available to come back in, I'm not sure. Naya Payne, I can't even touch and go for Saturday. You know, if he's in the squad as well, I think he could be brilliant to come off the bench the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and try something.
So if you're bringing Simon Ferry back in again, you obviously take somebody out. Do you then go back to the back four? Do you stick with the back five and maybe just have Rusty up front on his own?
I would go to a back four, but I would like to see two up top. Like I said, I think there's something in the game for us. I think sometimes that one up top, we've just been Russell McLean. I've said before, I think we're midfield and striker gets too isolated. There's no that the link up play. So again, maybe reverting to the back four, because I'd imagine Coven maybe expecting that 3/5. We go to a back four and you know maybe change it, get Simon back in there, get somebody up top with Russell McLean, whether it be Grant Savory, maybe Naya could start. I don't know how far away he is from starting a game. But yeah, I'd like to see his goal for it.
And they, I think, traditionally play the 4-2-3-1 as well. So, you know, get an extra midfielder in there just to keep things going. And maybe even having Hamish Ritchie further forward as well in behind the front two, just to kind of keep their two holding midfielders at bay as well.
Yeah, I think the. When we see the team, we'll get to kind of formation, but I certainly think that this would be a game to try and get two up top and see what you can do.
Yeah, hopefully we bounce back, because this is where we're going to find it's, you know, how good we are if we can bounce back from such a bad game and get something out of this one. And then, because the next one is even tougher, I think, it's home to Queen's Park.
The two draws against Falkirk and Montrose, you take them in isolation and you think it's a good result for Peterhead against Falkirk, it's a good result for Peterhead against Montrose. But as you said, when you go and lose to Airdrie and then you've got Cove away and at home at Queen's Park, all of a sudden that two draws then doesn't look enough. And if you're going to try and be clear of relegation, 2 points out of potentially what could be five tough games isn't going to cut the mustard.
Yep, so we will see how this Saturday goes then. It will be a big game, big tough game, but I think we'll expect fireworks. I know it's past the Guy Fawkes Day, but I think usually this kind of game we'll have some kind of.
There's been a few red cards in this game as well.
A few niggles as well, yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, that is it for us this weekend. We do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.